live at AsylumFantasyFootball.com. It's the Asylum Fantasy Football Show.
Yes, indeed. Normally we're on Tuesday, but we were detained, and it is Wednesday.
We were detained?
Yes, we were.
As in prison? I wasn't.
No, not what prison, but, you know, detained by...
Let's go with that. It's good for our street cred. The asylum has been detained.
That's it. And here we are. We are in basically fantasy Super Bowl weekend.
Oh, absolutely.
This is the Christmas special on top of this extravaganza. You are in for a treat tonight.
No doubt about it. 90-minute extravaganza. We're going to cut it off at 90, Rick, because I found out 2 hours I can't download an email to SRU. And let's finish the introduction. Find us at AsylumFantasyFootball.com. Then Rick says, shoot us a line, AsylumFootball@gmail.com. Then I say, at the Asylum Football on Twitter, the slow crawl to 2,000 continues. And then, Rick, you say...
Also, you locals, WSRU 88.1 FM, the voice of the rock.
There we go. Back on track. Sort of disjointed. True story. I have been in Briggs' basement bunker studio next to the fireplace for approximately 4 minutes now. So, little disjointed. Some goofy weather here in western Pennsylvania, as it's wont to happen. But enough about that. As Rick said, Super Bowl week for most leagues. A few may go into next week, and we'll prepare you for that as well. But I think we're going to handle this show, Rick, as it is your Super Bowl week. So less and less people involved in playing, but if you are, this is for everything right now.
That's for sure. And I'll tell you what, there's, you know, probably, what, 1/6 of the teams on average still alive out there, and but there's still a lot of decisions to be made to bring down that title this week.
No question about it. And we'll what we're going to do with this, we'll just sort of so programming note here, actually, I believe probably until the beginning of next season, we're actually done with our bi-weekly shows. We'll be to one a week here. Some more issues we got going on Friday. Aren't going to be able to record Friday, so that's why we're going to go ahead and do an extravaganza tonight. Obviously, next week and the week following on Tuesdays, we have the holidays, so I'll do our usual Friday show. By that time, everything's going to be wrapped up. We're going to stick with the Tuesday night blitz, suspend the Friday show until we get closer to training camp. So just sort of so you know where we're going, but as always, we'll be available at Asylum Football. At AsylumFootball@gmail.com for any questions you have going forward if you're in a fantasy playoff league or anything like that.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, in the off season, we're going to be, as Rick mentioned, going to one a week, but we're also going to be coming up with some different things. We're going to be exploring some keeper stuff and Dynasty, and we're going to be having some exciting guests on. So it's going to be fun.
Absolutely, no question about it. So as I was saying, what we'll do, we'll combine our Tuesday and Friday shows tonight. We'll do the usual headlines, give out some game balls and socks. We want to break down last week, a real wild week in terms of fantasy football. I think some crazy thing happened. And then we'll jump into our start sits, and you got to play for Christmas, a Christmas gift for everybody, Rick. We got to play Fact or Fiction.
Oh, but of course.
So let's jump right into some headlines here now that the house cleaning stuff is out of the way. Probably a lot of big news this week, actually, in terms of players coming back. I think most notably RG3 expected to start this week against the Eagles, although didn't miss a beat with Kirk Cousins out there last week. A fantastic game by him. But I think RG3 owners, probably quite a few RG3 owners playing for a title right now. There's a guy you got late who pushed a lot of teams over the top. So welcome news to those guys.
And that's a decision that doesn't come easy, you know, when you're going to the Super Bowl, guy dealing with a knee injury, and as well as Kirk Cousins played, you know, is it going to be, it was not going to take a lot in my mind to get him out. I mean, I don't think they're going to waste this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, if Cousins playing like he is, you know, I don't know, do you want to go into the Super Bowl? With RG3 this week.
I'll tell you, here's what I'm worried about, Rick. And we talked about it at length on Friday when we didn't know for sure whether or not he would play. I believe it was Saturday night they actually ruled him out. So when we were last on the air on Friday, there was a chance he would still play. And there's some guys hinting around that they thought he would. And the fear was, I'd heard on one of the networks, I believe it was Michael Irvin on NFL Network, beginning of last week we talked about on Friday, him saying, yeah, he's going to play, because obviously his arm's fine and everything, but he's not going to have that mobility. Has he gotten that mobility back in a week? And you take that mobility away, and I know he's got a strong arm, he's an accurate passer, but his game is the threat of sort of Ben Roethlisberger, only much better. The threat of him getting outside of the tackles, the threat of the things he can do. I don't know if he's healthy, if he's in good shape in terms of that. So I get your point, Rick. I'd be a little nervous playing him, but how do you bench RG3 with what he's been doing if he's available and playing?
Oh, I agree. And let's face it, right now Washington's leading the division. Who'd have thought that 5 weeks ago?
Yeah, really.
They're leading the division. They got the playoffs. You know, as Mike Shanahan said, they control their own destiny right now. And I have no doubts that Mike Shanahan will use every asset at his disposal.
Oh, no question.
You know, to get to those playoffs to win. So if he feels he can go, I think he's going to be going. But as a fantasy owner, I'd still be a little nervous, because, like, we made the point when he first got hurt and they were talking about hints of him playing the next week. It's not his game if he's not as mobile, like you said. And that makes it, I don't know, what do you call him? Two-dimensional instead of three or whatever.
Yeah, probably, but you know, maybe more one-dimensional. And I don't know, is he enough of a pure passer to succeed without that mobility? Going up against a pretty bad Eagles team, it does make me nervous. And I would tell you, you know, I don't know what your backup situation would be if you have RG3. It's probably the second quarterback you took, maybe depending on matchup. Well, let's play the game, Rick, and let's throw one out. Going to toot my own horn a little bit, gave you on Friday. My start of the week is Russell Wilson. Now, didn't expect him to rush for 90 yards and 3 touchdowns. I don't think I predicted that, but I could say I did. Say you picked up a Russell Wilson. Do you think about him over in RG3?
I mean, that's a tough. I mean, I'm looking at matchups right now. You got RG3, like you said, going against a bad Philadelphia team. Of course, they're in Philadelphia. Wilson is at home against a pretty good San Francisco team.
Yeah.
You know, and that makes you think. If push comes to shove, I would probably push all in and go with RG3 in that scenario.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, how about for you? Like you said, you may have him as a second quarterback, and this guy's been kicked around in our, you know, what-ifs many times this year, Matt Schaub.
I think I'm still RG3 when you put up Matt Schaub. I played in a league. The guy's actually playing for the title this week. That's the league. D'Angelo Williams summarily walked me out of the playoffs 2 weeks ago. Guy had Ben Roethlisberger as his one and got RG3 late. So how about that, RG3 or Ben Roethlisberger?
I think I'm going to have to go Ben on that one.
Yeah, see, I think that's the level you have to get to, which could happen.
Right, exactly.
Don't go crazy. Don't overthink it. But if you have a legitimate number one quarterback and RG3 just beat him out because you happen to be sage enough to draft him late on draft day, you know, I think I agree with you, Rick. I think I play the more proven commodity, and what would the point differential be? A big day for RG3 would be 30, 35 fantasy points. Ben could give you 15 or 20, and you hope you can make up that 10 if RG3 would end up being at his best, which I kind of doubt he will be.
Yeah, I mean, with the yards Ben's been putting up lately, I mean, you're looking at, you know, in the 20s. And, you know, I think he's a pretty safe play as far as that goes. But then again, you know, another guy that was probably on the same tier during draft day, you got Jay Cutler at Arizona.
Yeah, that's interesting. But look at what Arizona's been doing in terms of turning people over. I think
right. You
give me that matchup, I'm going to take RG3 there.
I think so. I mean, Arizona, as bad as that team is, they're still like the ninth best scoring fantasy defense in the league. I mean, that's their strong suit right there if they have one.
Yeah, and I think they just their ability to turn people over scares me, and Jay Cutler's penchants for turning it over, I think you avoid that situation. So maybe we'll get into more of that a little bit later. The other big news for fantasy owners, Rob Gronkowski practices Wednesday, hopes to be back. That could be a big boom for somebody playing for a title this week.
Yeah. You know, the way Hernandez is playing, I mean, he seems to be okay. A broken forearm, you know, 4 weeks to heal. Of course, he's a great asset to have on there. I think he's got 10 touchdowns. I fear him falling just on that thing.
Well, yeah.
Obviously, you would think they would have some sort of protection on there. and you have him on your roster, I would probably throw him in there because Brady will probably get him the ball.
Yeah, he'll find the end zone. There's no question about it. And after letting San Francisco walk into their place on Monday night, and you know, a big comeback by them, but basically dominate them for the better part of that game, I think they're going to be angry. I think they're going to be looking to run up the score here, and Gronkowski, if he plays, I'm certain will be a big part of that.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
So moving on, big news for us, Rick, thankfully. Shady McCoy will start this week against the Redskins, hopefully salvage this bet we have with Jay Smooth. It's going to come right down to the bitter end. However, Andy Reid does say it will be a rotation with Bryce Brown, and Reid even said it won't be a normal workload for Shady McCoy. So I guess outside of our silly bet with at Fantasy Six Man, if you're a Shady McCoy owner, I don't know if you got this far losing a guy like that heading into the playoffs, but assuming you did, what are your thoughts on Shady? Do you get him in your lineup? What do you do?
That's a good question, because if you are still alive, number one, you're either very lucky. Number two, you're very deep at running back. Or number three, you're stacked at wide receiver and you don't really miss the running back situation. But I don't know. I think you almost have to put him in there. Again, you go and play the game. Who are you supplementing him with?
Yeah, that's the thing. Unless you've picked up a No'Shawn Moreno or somebody,
right,
who I'd play over him. But if you're sort of piecing together a running back core, why not take a shot on him? I think in a PPR league, even if it's a decreased workload, he never got a lot of carries even at the beginning of the year. It was in the passing game where he was Shady McCoy, where he made, you know, he earned that top five draft spot. And I think that could still be a big part of the offense, especially with the young quarterback in.
Yeah, and, you know, Foles came to earth last week. So they're certainly going to need help in a running game, and that's for sure. And I think McCoy will help stabilize that. I mean, Bryce Brown had this couple big games. Well, he certainly fell to earth as well. So I think McCoy adds a different dimension in that position.
Now, here's one, Rick. I'll give my opinion before I even read the sentence. Here's a guy I'm not going to take a chance on. Still up in the air, but MJD hopeful to play this week. After that amount of time, he didn't practice today. It's him saying he hopes he's going to play. Haven't heard anything from the team. I think even if he does play, I'm not willing to take a chance on Maurice Jones-Drew this week.
If you're in the Super Bowl, you've been there without MJD for
seven, 8 weeks. So something, if this is the middle of the season, this would be big news. I don't think such big news at this point. And something, Rick, that I'm certain it makes you very happy.
Congratulations.
Ryan Matthews on IR with a broken collarbone. Mercifully, it ends for you.
Like I'm stunned.
That's your brilliant analysis.
I'm shocked that it took this long, to be honest with you. But given his production, he might as well have been hurt anyway.
Wow. So the Ryan Matthews hatred continues. So that's all the big names, all the big headlines.
It's really not hatred.
I think it's kind of hatred. We need to get you a song for him, like the song I have for that guy whose name I won't mention. What song would you like for Ryan Matthews? We got an hour and a half to kill, so take your time.
Well,
to think about
it. We'll come up with that, and maybe you know, we'll get that and load it up, and we can play that next time we decide we want to discuss this guy, which probably won't be until next August when it comes to draft time. You know, when are we going to draft Ryan Matthews?
I don't think we sound like that. I think we're way more entertaining than that. So, Rick, let's jump in. Let's pretend it's last night for a little bit.
We're not Amish, that's for sure.
Well, that was fantastic. What's the name of that show with
the X's and Y's, his and her podcast?
Where they accuse. Is there anybody in the chat room? I know it's not our normal night. Do we have anybody out there?
Yeah, our old buddy Dave, Road Warrior here.
All right, Dave's a New York guy, I think. Do we sound rural? And do you know what that means? And because they accused Rick of being Amish, and then for some reason they think the Amish make popcorn, which I'm not an Amish aficionado, although I was in New Wilmington over the weekend and saw lots of Amish folks. But I don't think I don't get the popcorn reference.
No, I'm not either. I don't even like popcorn. That guy told him as much, but, you know.
You told him you don't like popcorn?
Yes.
How do you work that in?
Well, no, it wasn't on the show, but I you know, sent them a message later, you know, and by the way, I do not like popcorn.
All right, and I'm not sure what the Amish think of popcorn either, but that's not here nor there. So back to our rural show here. Whoa, computer just went all haywire. We got some, maybe that end of the world thing is true, and we're starting to wind down here.
That's cool.
So let's pretend it's last night. Rick, let's give out some game balls, some stinky socks from last week. I think important to break down last week. Some interesting developments last week, some big numbers out of some guys. I'll start it out. I want to give a game ball, Rick. He didn't end up finding the end zone. Somehow Dez Bryant managed to catch a touchdown pass. But Miles Austin, 7 grabs for 79 yards. I think this is significant. This guy's been a disappointment. He's been on a lot of benches. With Bryant banged up, he's obviously the number one target. Dallas has that offense rolling a little bit. I think that's interesting, Miles Austin heading into this week and next week if he would be playing next week.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good one. And unfortunately, the game that I watched him perform in was against... It mystifies me.
Oh, here we go. A Homer rant. I love it. Let's do it.
It is a Homer rant. You know, they have the numbers. They're always one or two. But I'll tell you what, they give up more big plays at the wrong time than any defense I've seen all year long.
Can't get off the field on third down if it's third and 18. Even if they stop them, it's third and 18, they give up 16 or 17 and give the team the option to go for it on fourth down, whereby they won't stop them. It's scary as someone who you suffer through that San Diego game. I, as someone who will be freezing my tail off in Heinz Field this upcoming Sunday, watching A.J. Green just run through
awesome.
That secondary like it's Swiss cheese. I'm a little bit nervous about our Steelers.
Yeah, and... I think it really is glaring just how valuable Ike Taylor is to that secondary.
No question. The much maligned in Pittsburgh, Ike Taylor.
Very much so.
Until now, I think. Now we realize what we had in him.
Exactly. And but, yeah, it's just horrible. I don't know. Let's get off the Pittsburgh rant. I'm going to give a game ball out. It wasn't that great of an effort as far as the team goes, but individually, you know, Dennis Pitta was basically the offense for Baltimore. 7 catches, 125, 2 touchdowns. And, you know, when you have a tight end turning in a performance like that, I just got to give him a game ball.
Yeah, and it's been interesting. It's been the last couple of weeks for him. And we were talking about with Pettigrew out last week, his status still up in the air this week. Trying to find a replacement for him. That's the kind of guy, yeah, I don't know if you even still have waivers at this point or if there'd be anybody on the waiver wire. But Pitt is an interesting guy. He's been putting up some numbers. As that offense has struggled, his role has gone way up, sort of when Todd Heat put up those huge numbers when they had no offense prior. Pitt is an interesting guy and some, like a reliable tight end, which I think is a big deal. You don't. It's hard to find a lot of those guys.
That's true.
So let's jump in. I'm going to hand out a stinky sock, Rick, and I think the smelliest one has to go to Eli Manning this week. Mr. December, we've been declaring him the last couple of weeks, lays a gigantic egg down in Atlanta this week, 161 yards, obviously doesn't find the end zone as the team didn't score 2 interceptions. Very uncharacteristic for December Eli, and I'm not sure what to make of that performance.
Yeah, I'm not either. That is just, I mean, who saw that coming? We were actually talking on the show that they were going to Atlanta, and basically everyone expected the Giants come out of there or the win.
Oh, no doubt.
They weren't even in the game, let alone thinking about winning that thing. And for Atlanta, I think it was a real statement game. There they are, not getting respected. As far as, you know, a real serious Super Bowl contender, they're sitting there with the best record in the league, and nobody's really even talking about it. We're talking about the Packers, the Giants, even San Francisco. And Atlanta's almost out of the conversation. But you know what? They put their foot down, and I think people better start taking notice.
Yeah, they definitely made a statement on Sunday. That's a team that you expected in New York. This is when they get it going. This is how they win Super Bowls. They get hot in December, finish 9-7, go on a wild card run straight to the Super Bowl. And Atlanta, like you said, they just weren't having it. They said, every expert you see on NFL Network, on the four-letter network, you know, the most overrated team. It's always the Falcons. They fall apart in these situations. They're terrible in the playoffs. They made a bit of a – not a bit of – they made a heck of a statement. I know it was a home game, but this was a good Giants team in December. Been there before, coming off a Super Bowl win. Just a huge statement from them. And my opinion – they changed my opinion of them big time heading into the playoffs.
Exactly. I'll give out a stinky sock, and it's going to be the same position. Now, it's not really like anyone had any high expectations for this guy. However, division game, heated rivalry, they're playing a horrible Oakland defense, and Brady Quinn goes, you know, 18 for 32, 136, no touchdowns, a pick, and they get shut out.
Yeah.
And
against Oakland.
Against Oakland. And it goes back to the game plan yet again. It was a 15-0 game. I mean, you really can't say much for Oakland either. Five field goals. Jamal Charles had 9 rushes in the game.
Here we go.
And I know I gave the stinky sock to Brady Quinn, but it just you can just start naming them off on this team.
Jamal Charles, 9 carries for 10 yards.
For 10 yards against that. Oakland.
Against
I'm trying to keep a straight face. This is horrible.
We know how you feel about when Jamal Charles has limited carries.
Well, you know, and that's the point that we talk about 100 times, okay? Barry Sanders, how he used to go, you know, 1, -2, you know, whatever. Look at Chris Johnson. He essentially had 20 carries for 28 yards.
Yeah.
But that other carry that made 21 put him up to 128 yards and a touchdown.
For 94 and a touchdown.
And
crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, you got to give these guys the ball.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to let Brady Quinn win a game for you when you know he's incapable of such?
Yeah. That's very true. I can't argue with that. But it was a game. It was fairly tight. They were never out of it. Oakland couldn't score either. So, yeah, that Kansas City team, it was a disaster before. Then they had that huge tragedy, and it just hasn't got any better since. I fear Romeo's days are done in Kansas City. I'm wondering that the coaching heads ought to start falling here. I believe Romeo will be one. I think Rex Ryan will be pretty soon.
Ken Whisenhunt.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I'd like to know whose fault that was, the quarterback situation there, if you can blame that on him. Well, let's move on. We don't want to spend a lot of time talking about that at this point. I want to give a game ball, Rick. James Jones, a very interesting stat line. 5 grabs, 60 yards, but out of those 5 grabs, 3 of them for touchdowns. A huge fantasy day. Here's a guy I played in a flex midseason for a long time, and he went into that little bit of slide and had him sitting on a bench last week in a semifinal matchup. Fortunately, I managed to get through with that, but that always hurts seeing that kind of stat sitting on a bench somewhere.
Oh, no doubt about that. And, you know, that's well-deserved ball there. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I agree with you 100%.
Well, as you should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I tell you what, I have to give a game. We're game balling, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Game ball away.
Game balling. And my game ball, yeah, I mean, you went James Jones. I'm just going a little more obvious, I guess. And I mean, you just have to. 212 yards, 24 rushes. Adrian Peterson, there's nothing else to say.
Yeah, no question. It's just unbelievable. Is there any doubt in your mind, and we'll spend a lot more time talking about this over the summer months, this guy's the number one overall pick next year, isn't he? He has to be.
Name somebody you're going to take over.
Maybe Foster. I don't know, but I think it's Peterson.
In maybe in standard – Foster, you may make a case for him, and in PPR,
Foster maybe in standard,
yeah,
it's got to be Peterson. Peterson doesn't
exactly
catch the ball.
I was backwards because he does catch the ball and he does score touchdowns. You could make a case for him, but in standard, I can't see anybody but Peterson.
Yeah, no question about it. Just unbelievable coming off that knee injury. You know, imagine if he'd come into the year healthy, what it would it look like?
1,812 yards right now. I mean, Dickerson is actually being threatened right now.
Yeah, no question. But what's he at? About 150 yards a game. It was going to be 180. He took a huge chunk out of that last week.
Yep.
So moving on. So that was our game balls there. Let's go to a stinky sock. We'll stick at the same position. Doug Martin, a huge disappointment. Tampa Bay in general, a huge disappointment. 9 carries, 16 yards. Here's a guy who probably propelled a lot of teams deep into their playoffs and cost them a fantasy playoff matchup last week.
No doubt about that. I mean, that whole team has just started to fall apart. Well, not started. It has fallen apart. I mean, they were talking playoff run 6-4 not long ago, and they're not even in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, no, hey, I want to go back to Peterson real quick. I had a point, and I lost it, and it just came back. You're talking about Chris Johnson and your point with Jamaal Charles, how he'd had the 20 carries for 28 yards, but the 1 for 94 puts him over. Look at Peterson's game, 212 yards, 2 carries of over 50 yards. So even still, essentially, you take – you know, we always like to do that as fantasy guys when we break these down. We'll take the long runs away. Take the long runs away. He still had over 100 yards. So that's the kind of game Adrian Peterson had. Just absurd.
Exactly. And it's crazy what this guy is doing. And he is just phenomenal. He's a robot.
No question about it. Just simple as that. He's a robot.
Okay, I am going to give out a stinky sock, and you can't hardly fault them because we warn you and everything when you talk about New England because they are really sketchy when it comes to running. But Stephen Ridley, one of the highest scoring running backs in fantasy this year, you know, a mere 9 carries, you know, for 23 yards.
Yeah.
And, you know, and a fumble loss. So.
And Woodhead outrushes him, gets in the end zone twice.
Now, I'm not going to really blaming Ridley because it's the game plan that Belichick throws out there. I mean, you know, a lot of times it's Woodhead. Usually this year it has been Ridley, and he had actually become a pretty stable back
for a while.
And now all of a sudden, you know, Danny Woodhead raises his wooden head.
His wood. Are you a...
This is our Christmas special.
At AsylumFantasyFootball.com and 88.1 FM WSRU, the voice of the rock.
And we are Flieger and Briggs, and boy, this is an extravaganza and a Christmas special all rolled into one.
No question about it. So let's move on, Rick, our next game ball. I got to give one. I don't know what to make of him, but that's why I'm going to give him the game ball so we have an excuse to discuss him. Reggie Bush, out of nowhere, 21 carries, 104 yards. Here we go again.
Yeah.
Fantasy relevant? Answer, I don't know. Do you trust him at all?
We'll probably be talking about him later in our starts and sits.
Oh, well, all right. Well, we don't want to spoil anything for you, so go on, Rick.
Okay, we're game balling or stinky socking?
Well, you game ball away, my friend.
All right, we're going to game ball. I think as I shuffle my papers around, we're going to go to the quarterback position for a game ball.
Excellent show prep out of my partner here.
Well, I mean, I just happen to have paper stacked, and, you know, you have to move them.
All right, move them.
I'm going Sam Bradford. 377 yards, 3 touchdowns. He was 35 out of 55. And another losing effort, but he actually looked pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, no question about it. Shows flashes. The guy kid has potential. I like the coach there. I like you see Steven Jackson having a bit of resurgence late in the year. Could be some good things for that St. Louis team going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be an incredibly competitive division next year.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. Seattle.
Arizona notwithstanding, well, unless they get a quarterback.
They're one quarterback away, and I don't know where they get him, Rick, but they're one quarterback away from having the potential. With that defense, with Larry Fitzgerald, they're a quarterback away from contending for that division.
And doesn't it make you wonder, just for example, Flynn in Seattle.
Yeah.
Are they going to keep him? Will they maybe roll the bones for Mike Vick?
There's a guy on that line. There's a name.
They've got to get somebody in there. Skelton and Cobb are not the answer, and this Lindley guy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and I'll tell you what, you look at a lot of speculation. I hate to bring up his name, but and I'll tell you what, we'll wrap it into our stinky socks. I'll give him one right now, but Mark Sanchez likely to be cut. How big of an upgrade would Sanchez be over any of those guys?
Not much.
I don't know about that.
Well, over those
over
guys.
Those
yeah.
guys.
But
he's not going to make you a contender. Well, this kid took a team. I mean, it was a good defense, good weapons around it. Took a team to two AFC championships. I am no Mark Sanchez fan since I'm making this my stinky sock right here. 131 yards, a touchdown, four picks on primetime
and
TV.
And a fumble.
Sealed his own fate, sealed his coach's fate. It's a shame, but it's interesting. He would be an upgrade. These are the kind of guys that would be an upgrade.
Look, the guy's an upgrade, but you've got to try to get a quarterback.
Yeah, oh, well, no question about it. But that's easier said than done. Took the Steelers 30 years to find one after Terry Bradshaw left. It's just not that easy to say, go get a quarterback.
I agree there, but you look back there, I'd much rather have Mark Malone than Mark Sanchez.
That's close. Old two-bounce Malone, I'm not sure about him.
Trust me. All you have to do is look at stats.
Well, all right, fair enough. So let's not waste a lot of time on Mark Sanchez. I don't think that makes for a good show. So I will make
Jay
that.
Smooth
would
like
it. Oh, he's all in. So we'll call that my stinky sock, Rick, so why don't you give us one of those?
I will do that, and, you know, I don't really want to, I'm just going to have to give it to Carson Palmer. And, I mean, I know they won. The defense shut out a horrible Kansas City team, but all they could muster against Kansas City was field goals. And he had no touchdowns. He was 18 for 29 for 182 yards. And that, I don't know. This guy had worked into starting lineups.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm not really talking so much about the game. I'm talking fantasy, obviously. He'd worked into starting lineups. And if you were in, say, the semifinals last week to get to the Super Bowl, you were crippled.
Yeah. Yeah, no question about it. And you had him as a start. And I didn't disagree against that Kansas City, awful Kansas City team. This guy put up the better part of 300 yards for a long stretch of the season. Rough stretch here towards the end. Not sure what's going on, but a big disappointment. Speaking of our starts and sits, Rick, I'm going to give a game ball. First of all, if you're not listening to my starts and sits, now, Rick, I don't know. But here's we talked about who my start was at quarterback. I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn here, but see, I'm
not
going to use
a horn.
Well, I don't want to use a horn. It's our Christmas extravaganza.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So I'm going to use sleigh bells instead of the horn. But I gave you Russell Wilson, a receiver I gave you Mike Wallace, which wasn't huge, but six or seven grabs, 90 yards, a nice little deal. And my start at running back, I don't think I broke any ground, but no Sean Moreno, 22, a buck 18, and a touchdown. Somebody picked this guy up and is playing in the Super Bowl this weekend because of no Sean Moreno.
No doubt about it.
If you listen to this show and you were playing him every week.
No doubt about it. And, I'll give you the old...
There, give me a sleigh bell.
for the no-show on Marina. And you actually gained some ground on me in the starts, category as we hit it 2 or 3 weeks ago. You were well behind, but I tell you what, I was stunned. I recommended David Wilson. It was hideous.
Well, I'll tell you what, in the first quarter, though, the kid had 45 yards in the first quarter, winds up at 55.
Yeah.
I think a victim of the circumstances of the game, honestly.
I agree there.
He looked good, but the circumstances of the game. Bradshaw's status up in the air. He's barking. He's going to play. However, Coughlin says it's up to the doctors. It's not going to be up to him or Bradshaw. That leads me to believe you're not going to see him. And I still like David Wilson this week.
Yeah. The Giants cannot... lay an egg like they did there. But the worst player of the whole fantasy week was Denario Alexander.
Yeah.
I mean, just didn't show up. I thought he died. He didn't even have a catch. He had nothing.
Yeah, in fact, Rick.
I did save face.
Okay.
I'm saying this again at my own peril.
Uh-oh. Well, but this is going to fit in nicely.
I had to suffer through Taylor Swift last week, but I did say... that a very legitimate flex spot, if you're in a desperation situation, would be D'Angelo Williams. 144
right.
total yards.
You were right. Found the end zone.
Yeah, and he found the end zone. Exactly.
Now, you didn't even know you did this, but if you were checking the Twitter feed on Sunday, our good friend, is it Chris Goodwin?
Yes.
Is that his name?
Uh-huh.
He thought the Taylor Swift song should go to Denario Alexander, who you just mentioned.
Yes, I know.
Then you brought up the other guy. So... oh, I hit the post that time. Chris asked for it. He's a great fan, and you did this to yourself, Rick.
but I was right. Hold on. Yeah, I know. Ever.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rick. We'll just.
However, if you listen to me and we're desperate for a flex situation, you're probably playing in the Super Bowl.
You're probably right.
Like, all right, that's enough. Ever. Yeah, I love that.
Right. You begged for it, man. You couldn't have done that better, bringing up Alexander and then hitting us with
D'Angelo. Over with her.
This is the worst show on the radio. Why does anyone listen to this? You believe a radio station picked this up?
Well.
Where are we at? Oh, I just gave a game ball to Moreno. Were you giving your game ball to the aforementioned D'Angelo?
Oh, definitely, yeah. All right. Yeah, that would just the. That's actually where we were working into, yeah, right. My game ball, and that had to be D'Angelo Williams.
And I had to admit, Rick, I had him written down here. I had him down towards the bottom, hoping we wouldn't get there, so you go ahead and take that. Got to give a stinky sock, Rick. Boy, he struggled. He helped propelled a lot of teams, a lot of my teams, a guy you got late. But Reggie Wayne been mired in a slump lately and continued this week, 3 grabs for 14 yards. What do you make of Reggie Wayne?
Yeah, well, you know, he was Andrew Luck was one of the sits last week, and you know they're taking away Luck's safety blanket, I believe.
Yeah,
and they actually had a fairly effective running game. Ballard had almost 100 yards.
At over 100, actually got to 105.
Well, did he? Okay, I thought it was 97 for some reason.
After he was my sit last week, my sit's not as good as my start.
But. It is surprising. I mean, they were down. They needed yards, and he could not get it to Wayne, which is obviously flustering the young quarterback.
Yeah, and he tried a lot of targets, just couldn't fit it in there, just couldn't get it to him.
And that's one thing that I'm sure he will learn, to be spreading it out more.
No question about it.
Okay, stinky sock in here. Are we not?
We are.
All right. My stinky sock this time goes to, and I don't really want to give it to him, but I'm going to. No, I'm not going to because he does not get enough carries. But because
who are
he
you
did,
talking? Just throw the name out. LeGarrette
Blount just tortured me all year.
So you're just mad.
No,
just...
well, he actually got like 6 yards of carry.
Oh,
so,
good for him.
I just can't bash him. But you know. I just can't even come up. Oh, Jay Cutler. I lost my place. Jay Cutler is my stinky sock, 12 for 21, 135, touchdown, and a pick in another losing effort.
Yeah, team just coming apart. Looked like world beaters for a long time and just coming undone. So let's give a game ball, Rick. I want to throw this out. Here's a guy, and we played him in a league. We got eliminated in last week, I believe. And played him every week in a 3-receiver league. We have given this guy no love. I'm not sure we've even mentioned his name on the show, but what Michael Crabtree is doing this year in general, and last week, 7 grabs, 107, and 2 touchdowns, that's not been an uncommon stat line for him, and we never bring up his name on this show. A great year out of Michael Crabtree.
Yeah, and it's actually come since Alex Smith has hit the bench. And it looks like him and Kaepernick have really formed a real duo.
That's it?
Well, yeah. I mean,
leaving it to that?
It's your game ball, so I mean, I was just kind of throwing that in there.
Yeah,
but,
but fairly consistent, you know, in terms of a PPR league. Looking at this guy's numbers, it's been an impressive year and has done it completely under the radar. It's just impressive, and I think finally it's about time we mention him on the show. I don't think his name's ever been said on this show.
Well, I know he's been in a few, you know, questions, emails, and so forth,
yeah.
Ranking them and starting two or something like that. And it's not that we ever, you know, were proponents of making sure you would sit him, but like you said, he wasn't getting the real notice of some of these other guys, but he's been putting up some solid numbers.
Absolutely, no question about it.
Okay, I am game balling yet again, apparently, and I got to give it to Andre Johnson. 11 catches, 151 yards, and a touchdown as Houston demolished Indianapolis.
Yeah, this kid, and he's probably older than me, this guy's caught fire over the last 4 or 5 weeks. been disappointing the last couple of years, been banged up, disappointing the beginning of the year, and just became what his potential was, and now looks like a steal in that late third round where his ADP was, just a steal and probably keeping a lot of teams alive and maybe going to win somebody a Super Bowl this week.
Yeah, he's starting to pay the dividends that you had to fork out to get him early enough, and a lot of times, you know, in the middle of the season, it was almost like, why did I draft this guy? But this is why.
Yeah.
And you know, and let's face it, Schaub hasn't been putting up huge numbers.
No, they've just all been to
Andre.
All been to Andre.
And that's one thing that we always hit on. Kevin Walter, a decent enough receiver, but he's a good blocker and catches very few passes. He doesn't take much away from Andre.
No question about that. So, next stinky sock, I'm sort of running thin here. I hate to keep going to the Tampa Bay well, but a guy we've been high on all year, and it's starting to come undone going back to Tampa Bay, Josh Freeman, 279 yards, no touchdowns, four picks against a god-awful Saints defense. I think just one of those meltdown games. I mean, that team's coming apart here at the end of the year. It's just one of those meltdown games where they just got demolished and couldn't turn it around. But big, big disappointment. A guy we've recommended a lot, even through the playoffs, over some more notable quarterbacks, and just hasn't paid off to this point.
No, it hasn't. And it's sad to see, because they had the meltdown last year. They were like 4-2 and lost – I don't know what it was. I think they lost the rest of their games, or maybe only won one or something like that. But
yeah,
it was just a total meltdown. Now this year they're 6-4, doing the same thing all over again.
You know, coming completely unglued, so clearly it wasn't a coaching issue at that point.
Apparently not. And my stinky sock, as we're, like you said, you're running thin, I'm going to give it to Alex Green. You know, 13 rushes for 35 yards, and the Packers at actually, we're going back to Ryan Grant.
Yeah, how about Ryan Grant poking his head up out of the weeds?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Ryan Grant actually had better yard per carry than Alex Green. He did lose that fumble, but, you know, it's got some rust on him. I can see Alex Green losing his job.
Oh, no question about it. Just been a big disappointment. When Starks went out, it became his job alone. Couldn't get the job done, and the Packers offense struggled. You know, when you don't have the balance, and even when your boy Sed Benson went out, you know, the team struggled offensively to find their identity until recently, and they're still not the offense they were without having any type of running threat at all. And Green, just, he ain't the guy. He just isn't getting it done.
No, I agree. I still think, you know, Benson would have really been the guy if he'd have stayed healthy this year. I think they would have had a real complete offense, but, you know, unfortunately he got injured. And they haven't been able to fill that back up. Starks, you know, showed that one game a little bit, and he hurt himself, and he's done. Green can't do it. Now they bring back Ryan Grant. Yeah.
I didn't know Ryan Grant was still around. I thought he was bagging groceries or something.
Yeah, and he could have been, but maybe that's why he fumbled. I don't know.
All right, well, I think that's probably pretty good for game balls and stinky socks. Gave away a lot more than we normally get to do. We're about halfway through the extravaganza. And the Christmas extravagance at Asylum. This is Flieger and Briggs, AsylumFantasyFootball.com, and 88.1 FM, WSRU, the voice of the Rock. So, Rick, I'm going to pull since we got some time tonight, I'm going to pull something on you here. Just, I'm flipping through looking for a schedule in one of these preseason fantasy magazines, and this is so fun to look at this point of the year. And as you know, we recommend you never read these things whatsoever to you guys who excuse me, I'm choking to death here. You know, you guys who don't take it as deathly seriously as we do, sometimes you rely on these things. I just want to read you, Rick, I will. It was the USA Today Fantasy Football 2012 magazine. I'll call them out. Let's look at these wide receiver rankings, just for a laugh. We don't have to break it down, just for some fun.
Okay.
Number one, Calvin Johnson.
While we do that,
all right.
Okay, I just happen to have, because I use it for schedule references, I have the Pro Football Weekly.
All right. So I'm going to look through this. Number one, Calvin Johnson. I don't think anybody would argue that, and it's still pretty close. If he isn't number one, he's darn close. Number two, Larry Fitzgerald. Who'd have saw this disaster coming, you know, but it's not even close. Excuse me, God, I can't handle it.
You want me to talk?
No, I got it.
Bummer.
Hakeem Nicks, number three.
Okay, they're running chalk right now.
Four, Roddy White.
Okay, this one is Wes Welker.
Okay. Greg Jennings at five. Greg Jennings. Now, it's injury related, I understand, but Greg Jennings at five.
Roddy White.
Wes Welker.
Andre Johnson.
Andre Johnson. A.J. Green at number eight. How about that? As you look back now, how silly does that look?
Yeah, exactly. He's nine in this one.
I got Mike Wallace at nine. Victor Cruz at 10. Julio Jones all the way down at 11. Jordy Nelson at 12. Steve Smith, Colston, Brandon Marshall at 15. How about that? Percy Harvin at 16. Kenny Britt at 17. Demaryius Thomas, 18. Here's another crazy one. Vincent Jackson all the way down at 19. And we'll round out. We'll stop at 20 with Miles Austin. Boy, the year didn't work out like we fantasy experts, as I make my air quotes, thought it would in the preseason.
No, that's true. Unfortunately, I can toot my own Christmas bells with my Brandon.
Well, there's the title of today's show.
with my Brandon Marshall ranking.
Yeah, you were all over him.
I had him 18 here, and I believe I had him two or three in my preseason rankings.
Yeah, you were all over. I remember you and Patrick Johnson. When
right.
We were lucky enough to have him on the show in the summertime. He gave us him as number one over Calvin Johnson. I don't know if the numbers at this point bear that out, but it's got to be close, and you were in lockstep with him. You said it before, you know, even before we had him on. That's one you nailed. You were all over it.
And I tell you what, this guy, talent-wise, is just amazing. He's right up there with Calvin and Larry Fitzgerald, no doubt about it.
Might be better physically, and it's just a matter of keeping his mind right, and apparently playing with Jay Cutler is what keeps his mind right, and you'd see what he can do. That could be a great tandem for a few more years to come.
Here's another one for you. Running back, number eight, Ryan Matthews.
I have him at five in the magazine I'm looking at.
Wow. Michael Turner was 9. Darren McFadden, 11. Marshawn Lynch, 12.
How about I got Doug Martin at 29. Now, I know it's been a rough end of the season, but 29.
I got Isaac Redman at 15.
Yeah, Isaac Redman ahead of him. Yeah, this might be fun to name the list of names above Doug Martin in this preseason magazine. Isaac Redman, I'm just going to go backwards. Isaac Redman, James Starks, Willis McGahee, all right, that's fine. Jonathan Stewart, your boy Sean Green, Beanie, Law Firm, Frank Gore, Roy Helu. How about Roy Helu, everybody? Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Reggie Bush, Sproles, Fred Jackson. And then now it gets into some more reasonable people to be ranked ahead of him. Boy, it's been a crazy year.
Number 20, Adrian Peterson. Number 25, Jamal Charles.
What, 25?
Yeah.
I have him at 10 in this magazine, so these two are way off.
There you go. So, I mean, yeah, it's really funny reading some of this stuff.
So I think the point is, number one, you don't know, and we don't know. We have better ideas because we do this all the time. You know, always careful not to call ourselves experts or anything. We just spend more time looking at it and thinking about it than the average guy who has a life does. But these magazines, we'll talk about this a lot over the summer.
And
I'm not going to lie, I buy 7 or 8 of them a year. It's
great.
Just fun.
I mean,
but don't use it as a resource.
It's a great resource to look at rosters and that kind
past
of thing.
Stats,
yeah,
and things
personally,
like that.
Exactly.
But tear the rankings out. Ball them up and throw them at the guy across the table from you. They're useless.
Yeah, I mean, because I can rank them, Rick can rank them, you can rank them, and somebody else will rank them. They may all be different.
Yeah.
One guy will look like a genius this year, and everyone else looks like a dummy, and the next year the next guy's a genius.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, Rick, well, let's get off of that. That's probably more a thing for the offseason. Just as I was flipping I found it amusing. So let's get into our starts and sits. Rick, there's a few folks out there still playing for a championship. We got a couple of championship matchups this week, individually and together. Why don't you go ahead and start a quarterback?
Yeah, and I mean, this is the one. Look, you're probably not in any kind of tweener situation. So, I mean, he's going against Oakland. Get Cam Newton in there. You're not sitting him anyway. I don't know how to really start a quarterback. If you're in a real situation with a pickle, drop us a line, asylumfootball@gmail.com. But I can't imagine anybody's really in there with Nick Foles and Joe Flacco.
Yeah, you're probably right. You haven't got this far with quarterback issues. So One, I have Andrew Luck written down going up against Kansas City. You could be playing the matchups with him sort of as I did all year, although I got eliminated in that league, so that tells you, yeah, how successful platooning quarterbacks would be. But I'm going to say based on, you know, and it's all going to be based on who you have, but like we talked about right at the top of the show, I give RG3 a shot, I think, unless you really have a solid Roethlisberger type of guy. Those are the kind of guys you're looking at starts. But to get back to the message from a few weeks ago, don't go getting cute this week.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, there's probably that guy out there that may have the, I don't know, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Joe Flacco on his bench. Or
yeah,
something,
if he
Carson
up.
Palmer, Fitzpatrick, something like that.
Yeah.
However,
Palmer, Fitzpatrick, give me Fitzpatrick, I guess. I don't know that.
Okay,
tough.
They're going against Miami.
Okay, that's a fair defense.
Yeah, and Carson Palmer, of course, is, as we mentioned, with against Carolina, who's been playing lights out, so I may go with Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, yeah, I think
so. In a situation
so.
Like that. But anyway, my start with Cam Newton. A running back, as we mentioned earlier, you brought him up with a game ball, I believe, going against that Buffalo defense at home. I like Reggie Bush.
Actually, Rick, I had the same one written down. I agree. And it's all about the matchup. It's all about playing Buffalo. So I'll tell you what, I'm just going to make it unanimous. I'm not going to even throw another one out there. I like Reggie Bush this week.
And we did that with CJ 1 week, and I believe he went for about 181 yards.
Yeah.
So maybe this is a good sign for Reggie. I don't know.
And I think we did it with CJ Spiller a couple weeks ago, and he went for about 11 yards. So
good luck 28 carries.
Good luck to you this week.
Yeah.
So I'll jump ahead of you, Rick. I'll start a wide receiver. I talked about him earlier with the banged-up Dez Bryant. Miles Austin going up against the Saints this week, I think, is the start of the week at receiver, coming off of 7 grabs against a bad secondary for Pittsburgh, obviously. But he's the feature guy in a pass-first offense going against a weak, you wouldn't know it from what they did last week, but a weak New Orleans defense. I love Miles Austin this week.
Yeah, I do too. And I tell you what, I was impressed with the Cowboy receivers, Dez Bryant and Miles Austin, going against that Pittsburgh defense, which, as we've discussed, is suspect. But I do like Miles Austin. He's got the size and he's got speed. And, you know, look, New Orleans is not going to be having 2 shutouts in a row, so that's a good start. My start, I think they're going to get crushed. But they're playing New England. But I like Cecil Shorts at Jacksonville, you know, going against there. I see junk time coming. They're going to have to throw, obviously. They're not going to be grinding and pounding with New England. And he's a catch machine. And especially in a PPR, I think he's gold.
Yeah, misses that week with the concussion. Comes back the very next week over 100 yards again. This guy is a consistent 6, 7, 8 catch, 100-yard every week guy. You have to find a way to work him into your lineup if you're still playing. You can almost write that 100 yards down. I wish you could find the end zone a little more often, but for those 100 yards, especially in a PPR league, you have to work him into your lineup. You just don't have a choice.
I agree.
So I believe we're to some sits, Rick. I'll start this show sitting a quarterback. Man, I've spouted all year, wait till December. I spent all last Tuesday and Friday. It's December. It's Eli Manning time. That one burnt me a little bit last week. This guy's had many games like this year. I just don't think Eli Manning has it. I don't know who you have on the bench behind him. Give me Russell Wilson over Eli Manning. Give me Andrew Luck over Eli Manning. I'm sitting Eli Manning this week.
I tell you what, if you're still alive and you've been riding Eli Manning, I would ride him again. You're going against Baltimore. Baltimore's reeling. Their defense, you know, we talk, you know, much maligned Pittsburgh defense, but Baltimore's defense is the same thing. They fire the offensive coordinator, but they give up 31 points, where the offense scored, I believe, 28, and, you know, that just kind of mystified me, you know. And I think Baltimore's defense is susceptible to giving up yards, and I think Eli's going to exploit it. So, you know, I think if you made it to the Super Bowl with Eli, you might as well throw him in there. I don't know how you got there after last week, but
yeah. Well, I think in this one, I was about to make the argument, Rick, that that Ravens defense, the team in general, they've been bad. You brought up the point with the offense in the middle of this three-game losing streak. But that Ravens defense, for lack of a better term, got pimp-slapped on Sunday by Peyton Manning. And while they're not what they were, that defense has got a lot of pride and they're tough. And so I was all ready to start yelling and pointing at you that this is what they're going to do. They're going to man up. They're going to turn it around. Here's the problem with that argument, though, as I argue with myself. That's the magic of this show. You want to talk about getting pimp slapped. That's what happened to the Giants on Sunday as well. So this is an interesting matchup in general. Both teams, after just getting it handed to them and embarrassed, and maybe that argument doesn't work. Bet against Eli Manning this time of year at your own peril. I just don't trust him. I agree with you. There'd be a rare situation where I'd have somebody on the bench that I'd feel comfortable putting ahead of Eli. But there are situations where I would do it.
Yeah, I mean, there are situations. I will give you that. It's not like last year this time anybody say sit Eli Manning, you just reach across the table and slap him. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. You're going to be edgy going into any Super Bowl, and if you're sitting there, okay, let's play the game right now.
All right, let's do it.
Eli Manning or Fitzpatrick at Miami.
It's got to be Eli. I hate when you do this to me, and then I tell you to bench a guy, and then everybody you mention, I start him over.
Okay, here, Eli Manning or Phillip Rivers at New York Jets. I can't imagine both, you know, somebody having Rivers and Manning, but
yeah, that'd become sort of ironic considering the way they came in the league. But I think that's Manning.
Okay, I mean, there's really just not much to. Okay, do you go Eli or do you gamble RG3?
RG3.
Okay. Bradford at Tampa Bay or Eli?
I like Bradford in that matchup.
See, I think I'd go Eli. I agree with you before. I think I'd go Eli there. I just trust him more, even though after last week I shouldn't, but I do. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to sit, and I've done this probably two times in the last 5 weeks, but there's just something about, you know, Minnesota's got a pretty stout defense. Houston, you know, at home for a second week in a row. I just don't trust Matt Schaub.
No.
And it's not that I think they're going to lose specifically, and I'm not saying that Andre is not going to get his share of yards, but I just think from a fantasy perspective, you may be looking at like 230 and a touchdown.
Yeah, you're right.
Which is a good game if they win it in Arian Foster running and so forth and so on. But if you want to win a Super Bowl, you need some production out of your quarterback position.
Yeah, and that's a good one because Matt Schaub's a guy you've paired with somebody else. We talked about, obviously, me all year that I did it with Andrew Luck. Here's a guy you drafted your quarterbacks late if you're carrying Matt Schaub. In most cases, the other guy you're carrying is probably the better option week to week. You look for those juicy matchups with Schaub. I agree with you. I don't see this as being one. It's going to be a battle of the running games. It's going to be Peterson versus Foster. Both teams are going to establish the run and stick with it. I don't see it getting out of hand at any point on either end. So I agree. Schaub, that 230 and a touchdown, I think you nailed it. That's right where his numbers will be.
Yeah, it'll probably be 335 and three touchdowns.
No question about it. So moving on to the running back position, who I'm going to sit, Rick. And, again, am I going to really sit him? I don't know. I think I'm going to be, to use your word, I'm going to be sketchy on playing him. I'm going to do it, but I'm going to hold my nose. But I fear Doug Martin's hit that wall, that St. Louis defense. Adrian Peterson last week notwithstanding, that was Adrian Peterson and an anomaly. That's a pretty good run defense. And Doug Martin struggling, the whole Packers, yeah, the whole Buccaneers team struggling. I'm not real comfortable with Doug Martin this week.
I agree, and it's not. I'm not saying Doug Martin's hit that wall. I think Tampa's hit a wall.
Yeah,
that offense has just fallen to pieces, with the exception of Vincent Jackson, who in that debacle last week still had a pretty decent day. I think he was 95 yards, something like that. But yeah, I agree. And if they can't get the running game going, they're starting to find out Freeman's not beating them.
No question about it. So stop Doug Martin and beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah. Now, my running back, Sid, I know you're probably not going to sit him, but I don't think Cleveland at Denver is going to be a game predicated on the run.
No.
I don't think Trent Richardson is going to have a whole lot of action after about midway through the second quarter.
When they're down by 24.
It very well could be. Now, Cleveland's got a decent defense. I'm giving them that. They've been competitive. But, you know, Peyton in Denver, they start going with that no-run, their no-huddle offense. The Cleveland defense could wear out. They could start pulling ahead. I just don't see Trent Richardson actually being used all that much, especially in the second half.
Yeah, exactly. Same situation as we discussed with Mart. Who are you going to play over him? It's Trent Richardson. But same thing. I'm going to be dodgy, sketchy, whatever adjective you want to use about playing him. I agree with that. So the wide receiver, always the toughest thing to pick week in and week out, the wide receiver sit. Here's a guy, Rick, though, I would sit. And you probably, the wide receiver position, you're more likely to have depth somewhere you can take a risk. Victor Cruz, after a great start to the year, has really fallen off, coming off, I believe, a 14-yard performance last week. I don't hate that Baltimore secondary. Obviously, you know, I don't trust Eli Manning this week. There's a lot of options I think I could find and take a risk on over Victor Cruz.
Yeah, one of the main reasons right now I've fallen farther behind in second place in Taz's expert league is Victor Cruz.
Yeah.
He was my first pick. Wide receiver, and he's just not getting it done. Thankfully, Demaryius Thomas has been carrying the load more or less, but you need production from all your wide receivers, and Cruz has just been like having
just,
you know, a part-timer in
there. Yeah, he just disappeared, and it's odd since Nick's came back. I thought Hakeem Nicks coming back healthy would help him. Nick's not putting up crazy numbers either. Just that passing game just hasn't been good. The Giants' passing offense has struggled.
Yeah, you get waxed 34-0. You didn't do a whole lot, but they haven't been doing much for a couple of weeks. So, it's temper your expectations, that's for sure. Now, here, let's play the game.
All right, let's do it.
Let's play the game. Victor Cruz, Sidney Rice.
Sidney Rice.
Really?
No question.
I think I might go with Cruz just on the potential there. Okay, Victor Cruz or Kenny Britt at Green Bay. That's a little early on that.
Victor Cruz, Kenny Britt. Who's Tennessee playing?
Green Bay. At Green Bay.
At Green Bay. Give me Victor Cruz.
Okay. Victor Cruz or Mike Wallace?
Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace has been struggling and still putting up huge numbers. He's been awful if you've watched the game. But if you looked at the stat lines at the end of every game, you think, man, this guy's got it going again. He has been terrible and still averaging 90 to 100 yards a game.
Yeah. Right, here's something that maybe some guys may be facing, because I could conceivably see how you could have both these guys, Victor Cruz, Reggie Wayne.
Oh, yeah, that would be tough. I'll tell you what, I think even with his recent struggles, I think I still go with Reggie Wayne in that scenario. He's the go-to guy. He's the guy Andrew Luck wants. Now, defenses have figured that out as well and have been taking it away. But if he can get free, give me Reggie Wayne. I'd feel safer with that pick.
Okay. All right, we're going to move on to my wide receiver sit. Now, listen, reach over and slap me if you want to.
Oh, really? Nice.
They're at Seattle, who's dismantling people. San Francisco's off a huge win, and I'm thinking Michael Crabtree is a reasonable sit this week. Ow.
That was cheesy. I promised we wouldn't do radio shtick like that. I don't know, man. He's been so consistent. That point I brought up when we gave him the game ball. Look at his game splits. He's really been consistent. He's Kaepernick's go-to guy.
He is.
That's so tough.
And this is an
epic.
He's
the guy
I'd
be playing.
Matchup.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. It's for the division, let's be honest. He's the guy I would play. He's the guy I'd say he's my start over some of these bigger name guys we're talking about sitting or that we're worried about. I don't know if I see Crabtree as a sit. I don't agree with you there.
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's easy to say sit Brandon LaFell or something like that, but
well, yeah.
I'm just trying to I don't know. I may be totally wrong. I mean, this is something to revisit, you know, next week.
Yeah,
that's
for sure. We'll definitely look at that when we're scratching.
You know, and look, it's kind of like Trent Richardson. You're probably not going to sit him. But, yeah, okay, play me the game.
All right, let's Crabtree. And
see
I'm
if you can talk me out of it.
I'm going to mention bigger. Well, let's go right to it, Crabtree or Victor Cruz.
Wow. I think I'd go Cruz. I think he's coming on there. Like you, I mean, to your point, they are coming off being, you know what, slapped.
Pimp slapped.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Pimp slapped. I wasn't familiar with that part of it. Okay. And they're going to Baltimore, which is vulnerable. I like Cruz's potential over, you know, Crabtree. They're going to Seattle.
Okay.
I mean, that to
That's
me is
a tough
scarier.
Place to play. You're no question about it. Crabtree or Antonio Brown?
Crabtree.
Okay. Crabtree or let me go through the list here. Somebody that you'd be facing that you think about sitting. I want to keep it at that. Crabtree or I'm struggling now. Crabtree or Amendola?
Amendola.
Yeah, I think I agree with that one, actually. Crabtree or how about that, Crabtree, back to yours, or Sidney Rice?
They're playing each other. I think I'm going Sidney Rice.
Crabtree or Dez Bryant?
Dez.
Really? With that finger, still.
Hey, he was effective against Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah. But
who wasn't?
Exactly. You could have had four grabs for 40 yards against that secondary. All right, Crabtree or Reggie Wayne?
Indianapolis. Who are they playing? Where's the schedule at?
Kansas City.
Oh, yeah. I'd have to go Reggie Wayne.
See, I still think I'm going Crabtree there.
At Seattle.
Crabtree or Stevie Johnson?
Stevie Johnson. Stevie Johnson's been coming on.
So you like Stevie Johnson. So at least you're all in. At least you mean it. You're not like me who then says, well, I'll start this guy over 20 guys you name. So you're wrong, but I'll give it to you that you're sticking with your position anyhow. I got to respect that. All right, Rick, well, let's move.
He's still over Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I can't get off of that. All right, Rick, I hit it prematurely early. We'll have about 20 minutes for this in the Merry Christmas Super Bowl week extravaganza. It's time for Fact
or Christmas Fiction.
Christmas Fiction. The Ghost of Fiction Past. Oh, he just waved his finger in the air.
Oh.
And go ahead,
comes Van away. All right. Before we get into Fact or Fiction,
right.
And this is one thing that I wanted to hit at the top of the show. Let's get off of the music here.
Can I just pot it down a little bit?
I'd rather just disappear forever.
Forever? You're not all in on Fact or Fiction.
But the last show, many of you, I'm sure you all were lucky enough to hear the last show.
Well, if not, shame on you.
Therein lies the rub.
Oh, did you get some information?
Yes, I did.
I did some research, and I couldn't find anything.
Oh, it's easy.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, therein lies the rub means, you know, therein lies the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. You know, you can use it in many, many ways. Like you say, it's just therein lies the problem. You know, I can't get a job because I have no experience. I can't get experience because I can't get a job.
Yeah.
Therein lies the rub. It comes from Shakespeare.
That's why I didn't know about it.
It is oft misquoted.
So that wasn't the quote. We're saying it wrong.
Yeah. It's basically like there's the rub.
Oh, so we fancied it up.
But it's basically talking about dreams in the story, you know,
okay.
You're talking about dreams and what dreams are there in death? There's the rub, because there's nobody alive to tell you.
Ooh, I get it now. I still don't know what a rub is, though. That's what
I want
to know.
Well, it's just another term for problem.
Yeah,
you know?
So Shakespeare, he got it like that. He can just make stuff up. So he could have just as easily said,
of course he can.
Therein lies my left shoe, and we'd all know that meant a problem.
It's like we are right now. Of course we can. We have the microphone. Well, of course he can.
Yeah,
he had the pen.
That's true. I have the microphone. You'll listen to every damn word I say.
He had a feather.
It's probably a feather, huh?
Oh, my, yeah.
I wonder whoever thought you could use a feather. People were crafty back then. I give them credit for that.
Oh, very. Yeah, I mean.
Well, you. I mean, you lived back then. You would
you look at
rubbing
the old,
sticks together and
look at the old the on the walls of caves.
Yeah.
I saw actually how they did that.
Well, you were there. Yeah.
Oh, aren't we humorous? They used to take the charcoal from the fires.
Okay.
Okay. Chew it up and get it moist in their saliva.
I hate that word.
And
moist. It's
whatever.
Gross.
Oh, God.
It just sounds
well,
gross.
Well, then
they'd
use like a straw. Or, you
where
know,
did they get a straw?
Well, we grab, you know.
Quickie Mart?
Well, where do you think they straw from?
Oh, straw like
a
you
plant.
Sleep in. Oh, I thought you meant like a straw, like
you know,
that
like
big
straw,
long thing for your Slurpee.
You know, sheep lay on it, horses, that kind of thing.
All right.
Straw.
I'm with you now. I'm
all right.
There.
Well, they'd have that stuff in their mouth, and they would kind of put it in their mouth, and they would kind of spit like that, and they would do pictures with that, and it was like permanent because that charcoal, once it dried, is basically permanent.
No wonder they went extinct. These guys put everything possible in their mouths, apparently. Therein lies the rub.
That's what therein lies an appendix. It was useful back then.
Maybe, I suppose. Oh, so there's your educational portion of tonight's show. I give you a lot of credit. Hey, speaking of old stuff, I don't know why I thought it's awful. But I'm watching something on TV the other day, and it was from back in the 20s or something. It was like a flashback. And there was a kid running around. He had this big hula hoop-looking thing, but it was made of wood. And he had a stick. He was chasing behind it and whacking it with the stick and just making it roll. And I just wondered, did you have one of those? Did you ever play with something like that? You know what I mean? They just hit the stick, and the thing rolls, and they chase it and hit it with the stick again, and just
no,
all
I
day
just,
long hitting the thing with a stick.
No,
I picture you doing that.
Carried a stick and hit nerds like you.
Nerds. Well, fair enough. I can't argue. So let's get back on track.
It was
an
oak stick, too.
Oak, well, of course, not a hickory.
Hickory was nice, too.
Don't forget fact or fiction, Rick.
Lord.
All right, as you look at me disgustedly, I'll turn the music off. I guess
we'll
I better pot
up
the
pot
up the sound effects here.
Exactly what we need.
Oops, playing with buttons again.
You are playing with buttons, but we're going to have fact or fiction.
There we go.
Let's get him.
Turn that
there.
Up a little bit. There it is. Now we're ready to go. As you can tell,
hot
we did
dog.
No show prep for tonight. So
well, it's just what we're technically challenged.
There we go. So I'll fire away first, Rick.
All right.
Fact or fiction? This is only because I'm going to the game on Sunday. Anybody local, if you want to do a tweet up, a meet up, I will be in section 506 at Heinz Field, drunk as a rat at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Well, maybe not drunk as a rat. I'll be with my father, and I don't know if he's down with that. Fact or fiction, Rick? The Steelers offense scores over 20 points this week against Cincinnati.
Yes, they will.
Keeping the faith.
Yes, they will. Yeah, I mean, I think they actually can score 20 points against Cincinnati, which is not a bad defense. However, it's make or break time. Cincinnati.
What's going on over there?
Jeez.
Those things are rattling
yeah,
apart here.
Yeah, we thought
things
were falling apart
stadium.
Over here. But I have faith in Ben, and I don't have any faith in a running game, but I have faith in Ben, and I think the receivers will actually hang on. They still have the best tight end in the league. So.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though, and two, John Dwyer, last time this team played, went for over 100 yards. Always seemed to, for whatever reason, no matter what kind of wacky stuff they're trying to do, always seemed to enforce their will in terms of the running game historically against Cincinnati. I don't hate John Dwyer this week. I don't think if you're playing in the Super Bowl and you're in a position to need him, but I don't hate him this week.
I don't really hate him any week. It's just that he doesn't get the carries. And
I think
therein lies the rub.
There, right back to that, no question about it. Hey, this tangent radio here today. So I hear today, I didn't really buy into this end-of-the-world crap that's supposed to happen on Friday, but I'm a little scared now. Somebody told me, and they could just be blowing smoke, and I'm too dumb to know any better, and I'm certainly not going to look it up.
No doubt.
That whenever they made, whoever made this prediction, I don't even know who it was, said something about there's a place where there was three rivers came together and a fourth river was going to be created, and that's what's going to kill us all. So I'm a little scared that we're going to be the first to go with that three river gimmick going on in Pittsburgh, and there's some underground fourth one that's going to come up and pummel us. I'm a little worried about that now.
Yeah, I would be too.
It's going to happen right there, right in our backyard.
I agree. Give me your tickets.
Well, we'll know before then. We're all going to be dead on Friday, so they're not going to do you any good. And if I'm not dead, I'll assume we're money then.
Well, yeah, give me your tickets.
I just think it would be
I want you safe.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you...
That's my first priority.
No, you're the jinx because the last game you went to was the San Diego games, and we're going to keep you as far away from Heinz Field. Any chance you could drive to Cleveland to watch the game?
Hey, I was sitting here when they were in Dallas blowing it.
That's fair enough. All right, let's get back there. We have killed 15 minutes here. We're going to run out of time for Fact or Fiction.
Well... But we were doing the educational part
that's
of everything.
True.
And I while we're doing tangent radio.
All right.
you know why everyone thinks that, you know, we're going to end on the 21st of December or whatever.
No, I never
listened. Because of the Mayan calendar.
Okay. I guess I did know that.
Well, okay. As you well know, I was back there carving stuff in the stone.
That's true.
Well, when you carve things into stone, I mean, you have like the, you know, I don't even know what they had. They probably didn't have a chisel, you know, because they probably didn't have metal.
Yeah, one of those oak
sticks
you were talking about.
They might have bronze or something like that, or maybe just a hard
stone. Whatever they could put in their mouth, apparently, from what you've taught us tonight.
No, that's for putting paintings on. Oh. But this is carving.
Okay.
It's very tedious work.
True.
And it's very manual. Okay?
That's true.
Well, yeah, you go back to however many years ago, how many thousands of years ago, like back in the Egyptian time, probably 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, because
okay.
the same time period, the pyramids and all that were
so
being
like when
built.
When you were in high school.
Right.
Okay.
So, you know, you make this calendar that goes like 4,000 or 5,000 years in, and don't you think these guys are probably getting a little tired?
Just skipped a few or something?
No, they probably just stopped.
Ran out of steam.
Let somebody else take care of this in a few hundred years.
Well, that's a lot of logic. I like. Let some other donkey finish this later.
Exactly.
I like it.
And when does it end?
Well,
I mean, if you say this is the last day in the calendar, what happens tomorrow?
You're pummeled. You're dead.
I mean, yeah, but it doesn't end. I mean, there's stuff here, you know, so... They just got tired of making a calendar.
I like that.
And nobody picked up the task. They dropped the ball because the Spanish come over, gave them smallpox. They all died.
There you go. Simple as that. Although I did hear somebody say one thing. I think I saw this on Twitter. I had a lot of fun. Again, don't know if it's true, but if it's on Twitter, I think it has to be true. That if this was actually going to happen, it would have happened several years ago or several months ago or something, because obviously the leap year hadn't been invented at that point. So really it's already been much longer than that Mayan calendar was already written for all the extra days we added with leap year. So we might be all right. That makes me feel a little better.
Yeah, that's a great point as well. Okay, back to fiction.
Fantasy football, that's right. This is what you're going to get all summer, so be prepared if you're willing to stick with us.
Fact or fiction? Marshawn Lynch goes over 100 yards against San Francisco.
Marshawn Lynch goes over 100 yards against everybody anytime you count him out. I was worried about against Chicago. He went out and did it. Full-on beast mode. I have no fear for Marshawn Lynch against any opponent.
I agree.
All right. Fact or fiction, Rick. Sticking with the theme, you brought up the Eric Dickerson thing. Adrian Peterson gets over the 150-yard mark this week against Houston. Ooh, we're going to agree. Good.
The guy, like, you know, we were calling him a robot. He says he's going to do it. I just assume he's programmed,
yeah.
So he'll do it.
That was going to be my point exactly. I actually thought we were going to argue about it. I'm a little disappointed. If he said he's going to catch Eric Dickerson, he's going to do it. There's just no question. He's decided, I'm Adrian Peterson, and this is going to be the year I'm going to break the rushing record. He's going to do it. There's just simply no argument.
And, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
And
I mean, until somebody stops him, I'm a believer.
Exactly. All right, now you have to ask me a question. That's how the game works.
Oh, I thought, okay, that's right. You asked me, Adrian Peterson. Didn't I? Okay.
This is an awesome
fact
show.
fact or fiction? Roddy White goes over 100 yards at Detroit.
We're sort of on an every other week plan with Roddy White here. Awful week a few weeks back, good 2 weeks ago, awful last week. It's Roddy White's turn. Detroit's in disarray. I think it's a big week for Roddy White, and I'm sweating a little bit if I'm a Julio Jones owner. That's just for whatever. It's probably not deliberate, but that's just what I'm seeing anecdotally.
I would like jump on the wagon wholeheartedly with you. Except for the fact of last week we're talking, oh, Matt Stafford's a safe start, blah, blah, blah. They go to Arizona, just gets dusted. Atlanta just kills New York at home. Now they're going to Detroit. By all rights, should murder Detroit.
Yeah, true.
I still think I agree with you, but is it going to be a slaughter like we think, or is it going to be one of these kind of weird games where...
It's that time of year. It's hard to tell.
You know, they're playing for pride, this, that, and the other, and sometimes that happens to really be a motivator.
Yeah, it can be, although I question the mental fortitude of that team, and playing for pride like them may go the other way.
I agree.
All right, Fact or Fiction, Rick. This isn't part of the Fact or Fiction. One thing we didn't mention in our breakdown of last week, Darren McFadden actually gets over 100 yards. I believe I ask you this question every single week, so Fact or Fiction, Darren McFadden goes for over 100 yards this week against the Carolina Panthers.
I don't think so. He had over 100 against Kansas City. But I like Carolina's defense better.
Yeah.
I like Carolina's offense a whole lot better. And I just don't think he's going to be rushing for 100 yards.
What I do like, though, as the counter to that, I agree with you. I think he could struggle. He's just been so inconsistent this year. To see Darren McFadden get 30 carries, I know it's the end of the year, it's too late now, makes me feel a little better about how they may use Darren McFadden. When he was struggling, not only was he not putting up the yardage, he was a 15, 18 carry guy. To get up to 30 yards, he may be becoming one of those back. And if they continue to give him the ball 30 times, eventually, with his shiftiness, with his speed, he's going to crack one off for 60 and a touchdown. So that could be the counter to it. If they would continue to give him the ball like that, you could see him have a huge game at some point.
And we're talking this week only because it's basically the Super Bowl. Going into next year with that conversation, I'm all out on D-Mac. Because you start giving him 30 yards a carry, he's not playing for three games.
You're right. That's a fair point, too, going into a season. But for 1 week, I don't know. I tend to agree with you, but I think if they give him the ball 30 times, his potential to take one to the house.
I agree. And I actually think in PPR, still probably not a hideous start, maybe a flex or something. I think he'll probably have over 100 total yards between
catching
and rushing.
You got this far dealing back and forth with him. Slide him in your lineup. He could put you over the top and win you a title.
It's very possible, yeah. I mean, I would not put him in my running back stable if I've gotten to the Super Bowl without him, but maybe in a flex, maybe you got some wide receiver three out there. Get him in there.
No question about it.
All right. Fact or it is my turn.
Yeah,
correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. Fact or fiction. Peyton Manning outscores Tom Brady this week.
I like Peyton Manning. You mentioned that Cleveland defense, not bad, but Peyton Manning sort of has his will. But Tom Brady just lost at home on national TV in December. Bill Belichick just lost on national TV on Monday night in December. I don't see a scenario where they put up any less than 117 points this week against the Jaguars. If you think they don't jump, well, you know they're going to jump out to a 31-0 lead. If you think for a moment they're going to stop chucking that ball in the second half, you are crazy. I set the over-under total points for New England at 117, and I'm going over. So with that, I think Tom Brady has himself a pretty big day.
And taking everything that you said into consideration, which I agree with 100%, Denver also is really starting to run the ball on top of everything else.
You look, Peyton Manning last week, only one touchdown, 250-some yards, wasn't it? Wasn't a big fantasy day out of Peyton Manning. Actually, a disappointing fantasy day, although a perfect day with running the ball as they smash Baltimore.
Oh, exactly. I mean, you're right. Peyton Manning, actually had 204 yards.
Oh, so I way overshot it.
Yeah. So.
And that's a game they blew a good team out. So I think you could see more of that going as No'Shawn can continue what he's doing. So, and like I said, Tom Brady got something, and Belichick has something to prove this week.
I agree.
All right, my turn now. I just had a brain freeze there. How about this one, Rick? We're running out of time, so I'm going to jump around. Ronnie Brown, Rick, Fact or Fiction, is a safe flex start this week.
PPR?
Sure. Oh, okay.
I think he catches enough balls in PPR to make him viable.
Probably.
Rushing, I don't. I'm not going to buy it. But yeah, I think flex in a PPR. I think I could roll the dice with him against certain people.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fair enough. I mean,
look, if you got Ronnie Brown on your team, you've got him there basically as an emergency stash, period, and you're not going to really be using him for any other role.
Yeah, that might be that'd have been a better question mid-season. Going into the Super Bowl, it's hard to talk about. We're sort of taking the Super Bowl aspect out of it just in general. I think in that case, although I'm not pulling a rabbit out of my hat championship week with Ronnie Brown.
Exactly. Okay. One that we kind of discussed last week. And, I think there may be a few people that may have picked this guy up somewhere along the line. Vic Ballard is a reasonable start at Kansas City.
I have it written down as my next one to ask you, so we're obviously thinking the same thing. And,
I'm glad I asked you then.
I don't know what the... I'm not ready to trust him yet. He had back-to-back decent performances, 90 yards 2 weeks ago, got over, what did I say, 105 last week. Should be able to run the ball in Kansas City. Just considering the circumstances, the magnitude of the game you have this week, if you're setting a lineup, I said it on Friday and I was wrong, but I'm going to say it again. I'm just not going to trust Vic Ballard. You're talking a flex. You have a one or a two probably. You're talking a flex. You have a wide receiver on your team, especially if you're in a PPR league, who's going to be a lot safer in that flex spot.
Yeah, I think he's going to be okay, but like you said, do you want to stick him in over a receiver? Now, who it might be, we could play that game, but we're running out of time. But, Kansas City, I don't think Indianapolis is going to have to chuck the rock forever. And, they could probably run on Kansas City, so I don't think he's going to kill you.
No.
But I think you're probably right. There's probably more reasonable options out there at wide receiver, especially in PPR, which is – basically our favorite.
If this was week 7, I'd say, he's got it going a little bit. Yeah, definitely get him out there, see what you can do. But it depends, again, back to that point. It's so weird trying to do a show at this time talking to four people, basically, that are still playing.
You're right.
Although, if you're listening to this show, you're all in your championship, obviously.
Okay, here's one that could really affect people that may be in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis at Pittsburgh.
My next one there, too. This is sickening. We got to spend some time apart here in the offseason.
Yeah, exactly. But and I'm just going to ask, is he a safe start?
Safe start? Yeah, it's not going to be a big game. This guy's rattled off, 300-400-yard games in a row?
I think he's 4 out of last 5, I believe.
Look, I honestly believe, and it might be the homer in me coming out, I think the Steelers handle Cincinnati, and I think they do it by running the ball and shutting down the run. You're not going to shut down A.J. Green, obviously. He's going to just go nuts. But he's safe. He could find the end zone, get some goal line touches. Look, they're feeding him the ball, and I find it hard to get away from him.
Yeah, I'm like you. I don't think he's going to have a big game, but he's going to be a safe play. He gets to work, and he's starting to find the end zone, which is what you want to see.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I'll give you the last one, Rick, for the last show of the week here before Christmas. Fact or fiction? Well, I had to turn the thing off.
That's
you're
all
just
right.
Going to have to answer it. So
all right.
More than we got to this point, it's Super Bowl week. Fact or fiction? You are as sick as I am of talking about fantasy football.
I love talking about fantasy football.
Well, we're just going to leave it at that. Maybe I'm different. I don't know. Actually,
you're bitter.
We're a little early on that, but we'll play the music in the background. Just to recap, thanks to everyone for a great year. Good luck in your Super Bowl. Stick with us through the offseason. We're going to start now, get down to one show a week. To give you the lineup one more time for all you folks who like to listen live, obviously you're not going to be recording on Christmas or New Year's, so we'll be back next Friday, the Friday following, and then after that, each Tuesday in our normal 6:30 spot on the Tuesday Night Blitz, and on Thursdays at 88.1 FM WSRU, the voice of the Rock, and we'll get into it more then as the season goes on when we go back to two a week.
Yes, indeed. And good luck for all you playing in the Super Bowl, and have a Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. Take care.
Hey, my line.
Oh, yeah, that didn't sound right coming out of me.
Take care.
See ya.
That's what I usually say. These extravaganzas are going to kill me.
Oh, I think we're supposed to stop talking now.
We can, but hey, it's Christmas special.
Absolutely. Ho, ho, ho.
We're giving them a present. More of us. I like ACDC.